This podcast is free and it's accessible to everyone thanks to support from listeners like you. If you value this show, please consider supporting its production by donating to our home, KUOW. It only takes a minute to give, and you'll be helping to support the production of this podcast. Make a donation at kuow.org or follow the link in the show notes. And thanks.
Hey, good morning. It's Patricia Murphy. It's Thursday. This is Seattle Now. It's opening day of baseball today. Hot dogs, beer, and complicated emotions are in Seattle's future. Whether you're a diehard or a casual fan, there's plenty to be excited about with this year's Mariners team. Seattle Now producer and baseball superfan Vaughn Jones is here to talk about it. But first, let's get you caught up. Seattle's guaranteed minimum wage for gig workers is up for debate again. The council set to follow up a briefing today by discussing a proposal from delivery drivers. The measure passed by the council took effect in January. That's when delivery companies like Uber Eats and DoorDash started raising fees to offset the cost. Opioids like fentanyl have a chokehold on the city. Now, Public Health Seattle King County, along with UW Emergency Medicine, is making a helpful medication available 24/7 to anyone over age 13. The on-demand telemedicine program provides access to buprenorphine, also called Suboxone. It can alleviate withdrawal, reduce cravings, and reduce overdose. We'll drop a link in the show notes. And the Seattle Board of Parks and Recreation Commission is set to vote tonight on the creation of two new dog parks. It's been a year since the process started, whittling down more than 30 possible sites to West Seattle Stadium and Othello Park. The meeting starts at 6:30, and there's room for public comment if you've got something to say. We'll drop that link in the show notes, too. That's it for now. Make sure to come back tonight for Evening Headlines with Paige Browning.
And the pitch, up the middle, JP, wow, what a play, game over, and the Mariners beat Boston 6-2. Oh my goodness, what a play by JP Crawford.
It's opening day of Major League Baseball today, the most hopeful day of the season for fans and players alike. Anything can happen throughout the course of a long season, and the Mariners are a great example of that. The team's had their ups and downs these past few seasons. They snapped a 21-year playoff drought in 2022 before missing the playoffs last year. Our own afternoon producer, Andy Hurst, is a huge Mariners baseball fan, so he's well-versed in the highs and lows of Seattle baseball.
The beginning of every season, I tell myself, don't get too excited, don't be too optimistic, because, you know, baseball, it'll break your heart. It's designed to break your heart. But you know what? I can't help it.
Seattle Now sports correspondent Vaughn Jones is one of the biggest baseball fans to ever walk through the KUOW offices. They're here to talk about the upcoming Mariners season. Vaughn, glad you're here. You excited to get to the ballpark?
Just ask the two sets of tickets that I have for Thursday and Sunday.
Wow, you're going twice.
Yeah, twice this weekend.
All right. Well, Mariners fans are sure excited about this opening day, but they were pretty pessimistic just a few months ago. Tell us why, Vaughn.
Yeah, the Mariners do this thing where they want to keep their yearly payroll largely the same. They don't do a lot of big splashy signings or anything like that. But to keep their payroll the same and change the on-field product, that means getting rid of fan favorites like Eugenio Suarez and fan not-so-favorites like Jared Kelenic. We got some communication pretty immediately that the Mariners weren't going to be in on any of these big-name free agents. A name you might know, Trish, is Shohei Ohtani.
Mm-hmm.
He's a phenomenal baseball player. And someone Mariners fans actually really wanted, and the Dodgers signed him to a $700 million contract this winter. That just was not on the Mariners menu. General manager Jerry DePoto said this thing at the end of last season that really made a lot of Mariners fans super upset.
I can't tell you what year we're going to win the World Series. I can tell you that if we win 54% of our games over the course of a decade, you're going to play in the World Series.
That was in October of last year, right after they missed the playoffs. That's not a great first impression for a really important offseason.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm trying to come back from that $700 million salary, Vaughn, but maybe I'll just go here. Money and sports, right? Hand in hand. With this team, money has been a big issue. In 2022, Forbes said the Mariners were baseball's most profitable team. Why isn't the ownership group spending more on their players?
That's a really great question. I think that's a question that a lot of people have. Teams like to become profitable like the Mariners did, but they also like to remain profitable. So the less money that you can spend while still having a good on-field product is the goal. Think about Moneyball, which is the story of the 2000s Oakland Athletics, where they literally was their goal to spend the least amount of money possible while being successful.
Cody walks a lot.
He gets on base a lot, Rocco. Do I care if it's a walk or a hit? Pete?
You do not.
I do not.
The Mariners also just took full ownership of Root Sports, which is the regional sports network for the Pacific Northwest. That's a lot of people that you have to pay. Mariners owner John Stanton came out recently and he said Root Sports shouldn't affect the payroll, but money is not infinite and there's bound to be some sort of crossover there.
How are fans feeling? We heard Andy at the top there. He's excited. What else did you hear?
Fans are obviously not a monolith, and there are obviously a few people that are dissatisfied that they missed out on the Ohtanis of the world, these big name free agents. But the prevailing attitude, I think, is like, oh, wow, cool. Because Seattle Times Mariners reporter Ryan Divish said fans had every right to be weird about their relationship with ownership because money makes everything weird.
Mariners fans have every right to be skeptical of this organization, of this ownership group. But I do think, like, yeah, they did the best they could within the parameters.
So the prevailing attitude is like, wow, they were given constraints and they actually worked well within those budgetary constraints to put together a team that is better than last year's, which missed the playoffs.
Okay, well, we will see about that, Vaughn. They've made some moves to make the team better despite the low budget. Which players should we be looking out for this year?
Yeah, a lot of new additions are really exciting. Look for the two Mitches, Mitch Garver and Mitch Haniger. Mm. Mitch Garver is new, but Mitch Haniger is new but old. Mm-hmm. He was a great player for the Mariners from 2017 to 2022 before spending last year in San Francisco, and now he's back and part of a new Mitch tandem.
Swing it!
Jorge Polanco was brought in from Minnesota. He was an all-star in Minnesota, and now he's playing second baseman for the Mariners. And Ryan Divish told me that the Mariners have a pretty clear vision of what they want their team to look like.
They know that if you have really, really good pitching and really good defense, you can be successful. I think the Mariners realize that that's kind of their identity of who they are.
All right, Vaughn, so you're going to be at the game tonight at the ballpark. The start of the season, I get why that is exciting, but let's talk about strategy here. What is the best way to approach this first game?
I think it's to keep your expectations tempered. Mm. There is a very long season in baseball, 162 games, 80 home games. So if you'll be at this opening series, know that the team will probably look different, a lot different by the end of the year. And that if someone starts hot or someone starts cold, it's not going to stay like that for the entirety of the season. Also, celebrate. This is the official start of like a very good vibe, spring, summery weather. I'll be back at the park on Sunday. Like I said, the forecast is 60. And sunny, and it really doesn't get any better than that. My other thing, I know a lot of people and a lot of people in the KOW office, I won't name any names, that can be a little grumpy about the Mariners because there's a history of disappointment. It's a game. I understand getting yourself invested, and I myself have been invested in a lot of disappointing teams over the years, but the season is long and the game is supposed to be fun, so have as much fun with it as you can. Don't get too miserable too early.
All right, well, the roof will probably be up tonight because the weather is not going to be perfect for sure. Let's talk about the national sports media. What do they think about the Mariners this year? Did they think the team has a shot at making the playoffs?
Yeah, I think the consensus is that the Mariners are really capable of making some noise. ESPN has the Mariners at the top of their could-be contenders tier, 10th best in the league, and The Athletic has them at 7. I personally think those are both pretty fair. I think their pitching makes them that much better, like we talked about earlier. Chris Young, a former player himself, went on MLB Network and summed it up pretty perfectly in my eyes.
I'm not putting them in the powerhouse category yet, but as of right now, I feel like they have just as good of a chance as any other team in the West to go out there and win a division.
So as you mentioned, the AL West, which is home to the hated Houston Astros and last year's World Series champion Texas Rangers, Chris Young thinks the Mariners could go out and win that. That's pretty impressive.
All right. All right. Well, if Mariners baseball is truly on the upswing, Vaughn, what are the best ways for people to get into it?
Yeah, I think it's important to know that you don't have to know everything.
Baseball, that's good.
Yeah, baseball has a long and vast history, a lot of inside jokes, a lot of weirdness and quirkiness about it. So you're doing yourself a disservice by trying to come in and learn everything right away. It took me a long time to be where I'm at now, and I am not nearly the level of ball knower, as the kids say, as I would like to be. One of my other baseball tips is to pick a favorite player and latch on. It doesn't have to be a Julio Rodriguez. My favorite Mariner is the starting pitcher George Kirby, and that's really great because he pitches once every five games, and so I have a reason to be really excited about a specific game when he goes out to pitch. You don't necessarily have to go to a baseball game to sit and watch baseball in silence. I asked for some baseball thoughts in our KOW newsroom ahead of this, which is why you heard Andy earlier. And our education reporter, Sammy West, isn't a diehard fan, but manages to have a lot of fun at the games.
I mean, the atmosphere is so fun. I've had some pretty good food. Garlic fries, for one. Vitamin R, obviously. And just those, like, beautiful views.
I am with Sammy, Vaughn. I show up for the vibe of the game, which I didn't even realize until I ended up there one day and stumbled into something that just seemed like so much fun. So if I'm just there for the vibe, how do I get to a Mariners game and enjoy it without spending too much?
Yeah, there's absolutely a way to catch a vibe for cheap. Mariners have a calendar of value games. It's a lot of Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday nights, so you'll have to be available on a weekday night. They have a value menu as well. There's churros on the value menu now, and I will be indulging in some 450 Miller High Life. I'm really excited about that. And also, if you like the vibe of baseball but don't really want to spend big at a Mariners game, there are other baseball teams in this area. The Tacoma Rainiers and Everett Aqua Sox are minor league teams that actually feed into the Mariners. And there's a summer ball team in White Center called the Dub C Fish Sticks. The quality of play isn't as good as it is at the major league level, but you can still sit outside and enjoy the atmosphere for much cheaper.
And for a non-sports person like me, that kind of vibe is exactly what I'm looking for,
yep.
Vaughn Jones.
That's what makes baseball great. Yep. That's why I love baseball. It's a great vibe.
And here's my pro tip, because the games are long. If you do go to a Mariners game and you're not like a thorough fan, feel free to leave before the game's over. I know I'm getting canceled.
How can you not be romantic about baseball?
Vaughn Jones is Seattle Now sports correspondent. Really appreciate it. Thanks, Vaughn.
Thanks for having me. Play ball!
Thanks for listening to Seattle Now, and extra thanks to the listeners who support this show, including Anthony, Noel, Sam, Sprout, Andrew, Abby, and Valerie. You can become a KUOW member and support Seattle Now at the link in the show notes. Today's episode was reported by Vaughn Jones. Say hi if you've got seats in the 300 level behind home plate tonight. It was produced by Claire McGrain. It was edited by Caroline Chamberlain Gomez, who's foregoing opening day for petty reasons and whose favorite Mariners player is Matt Brash. Our production team also includes Andy Hurst and Paige Browning. Greg Kramer does our theme music. Seattle Now and KUOW Public Radio are members of the NPR network. I'm Patricia Murphy. See you later.
Seattle in the 90s. A tidal wave of iconic music roars out of this sleepy city and launches a pop culture revolution. Here's a story you haven't heard. Let the Kids Dance is a new podcast about the rise and fall of Seattle's teen dance ordinance, the law that made it illegal for young people to go to concerts. A story of moral panic, grassroots activism, and an unstoppable music community that fought for its freedom. Listen to Let the Kids Dance from KUOW and the NPR Network.